they would exempt us out, might be something that we'd do.
Okay, got it. Am I correct? Yes, okay, thank you.
This is seven, I'm really glad. The distance is the. My committee. I have dictatorial power. Get that guy out of here. Shut off the mic, I can shut off everything.
On the TV.
Yeah, I can control everything from where I am, and nobody gets to say anything if I don't want to. There's no process to complain, because it's not a public. It's not like this at all.
I just realized Amy's.
This meeting of May 3rd, 2018, is called the order, and I will be sworn in.
So does she need to turn her mic on?
Yes. What are you?
No, I'm not asking you.
Oh.
To turn your mic on.
Yeah, you know.
Do you want to stand this meeting?
I think I'm okay.
You ready? Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Becky Summers.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution of the State of Washington.
That I will comply with the city charter.
That I will comply with the city charter.
And all ordinances of the city.
And all ordinances of the city.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties of.
Discharge the duties of.
The office of.
The office of.
Civil Service Board Member.
Civil Service Board Member.
According to law.
According to law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my abilities, so help me God.
I know.
Whatever. Thank you.
Here you go, can you sign this one? I would send you a copy of the order.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, and send with our board member.
Yeah, I will. All right, good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Okay.
Yes, I was chair for a couple of minutes, and I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Well, now turn the meeting back over to the chair.
Okay, thank you.
Would you turn your mic on, please, Chair Summers? Moving on to our next item, approval of the minutes.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
I move to approve the minutes for March 1st, 2018, our last meeting, and should we do that first?
Yes.
Or?
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been second, moved and seconded. Are there any questions? Concerned that anything? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
The February 1st minutes were tabled at our last meeting, and the maker of the motion to table those minutes is not able to be here tonight, and so I would move that those minutes stay tabled until the maker of that motion reappears.
Are you making that a motion?
If you wanted a motion, if not.
No, I. No.
Okay.
Perfect.
Then it wasn't a motion.
Moving on, communication for information.
None this evening.
Actions on matters still pending, new business.
We've received a request for an appeal from Justin Edwards of Tacoma Power. The appeal is in your packet. I did hear from Paul Golding, and he has no issues with jurisdiction.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
I move that we grant the request for an appeal for Justin Edwards, Tacoma Power.
Clarify, is that a motion to schedule an appeal hearing?
You know, I always thought that one was the same.
No, it's a very different.
Schedule it. Well, same to me.
Okay, there's a motion to set this matter over for a hearing. Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. Are there any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So it's up to our clerk to get that scheduled. There has been a conversation about a study session in June, and so please do not schedule it up for the June meeting.
Okay.
Nobody's dissenting from. Okay. Considerations of matters set for public hearing?
None this evening.
Civil Service Coordinator Report?
None this evening.
Though we did get this wonderful gift from Mary Fontaine's niece. It's all the old papers that the Civil Service Board used to put out. Dan, of course, wanted to know who wrote them, thinking staff would do his work again. But no, in fact, the board members actually wrote and distributed this information. So if anybody would like to take a look, we do have them, and our board members are very interested. And we would like to thank Kathy Stemler for providing them to us. Thank you very much. We have them from February 1965 to January 1970. Human Resource Director Report and Request.
Good evening, Chair Summers and members of the Civil Service Board. I want to first do something that's actually not on the agenda, and that is to introduce my new colleague, who is the Assistant Human Resources Director at Tacoma Public Utilities. Cheryl Beidelman is here with me this afternoon.
Would you like to say a few words to us?
Sure.
We have a very open mind.
Okay. Just don't sing.
Yeah, I'm the public. I don't get to talk.
Okay. Well, this is on the spot. Well, I'm on day four of my experience at Tacoma Public Utilities, so I've had a couple of days of orientation, a day of meetings, and I'm just excited to be here. I've been working and living in the South Puget Sound area for many, many years, and I think Tacoma is a great place to work, and I'm excited about the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Cheryl Beidelman.
Cheryl Beidelman.
Yes.
Pardon me, excuse me. But, well.
Thank
well,
you. Thanks, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Me too. So, the first thing I'm reporting on tonight is a list extension request approved by the Director of Human Resources, Gary Buchanan. The details are in your packet, but the request, or the approved list extension, was for a customer service representative technical position in finance. It's an 8-month extension. There were 267 people on the original list, 112 of which are City of Tacoma residents. Only one person's been hired from the list, and there are still 266 folks on the list. We extended the list because there are obviously still a large number of qualified applicants in the pool, and we're anticipating that there will be some openings coming up in the future. The second item is two requests that will be presented. The first will be presented by Rodney Croston, Human Resources Analyst, and Lynn Stair, Human Resources Analyst. It's for a waiver of competitive exam for the IT business and business analyst series. I'll invite them up now.
Board Member Sexton.
Shelby, before we get to that,
could you turn your mic on, please?
Could we flip back to the list extension?
Certainly.
Report? Pardon me. The minimum qualifications. I don't see a whole lot here. It's kind of listed differently than minimum qualifications are usually listed. It there's more. It's more like what you do than what you know. What you've done. Is this all that we know? Is this correct?
Let me check on that for you. Because I see what you're saying, and let me just double check.
You know, typically, minimum qualifications, would read and say, what license are required, what education is required, what work experience is required, and
absolutely,
and this just reads differently to me. Thank you.
You bet.
Whenever you're ready. Yes.
Here's the job.
So I have some pretty amazing staff that I get to work with every day. And the minimum qualifications that are actually listed in the job announcement are graduation from high school or equivalent, and 2 years of customer service experience in a call center or customer service counter for a business or agency, including experience interpreting, applying, and explaining rates, codes, and regulations.
So,
me again. I'm sorry. So, that was just missed or something, and that would typically be on the request.
Typically, that would be in there. It just was an oversight.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, good evening, Chair Summers, members of the Civil Service Board. I'm Rodney Croston, Human Resources Analyst at Tacoma Public Utilities.
And I'm Lynn Stair, Human Resources Analyst for IT and Tacoma Police.
And we're here tonight to make a request for a waiver of competitive exam for a couple of classifications for 1 year. They are the IT Analyst and the Business Analyst classifications. Information Technology Analyst classifications are established sort of in a hierarchy in a series. There's an analyst, the senior, senior technical, and a principal technical. Last meeting, you guys also heard about a little bit about subclassifications. A subclassification is defined in Chapter 1.24 of the Municipal Code as a position or group of positions within a classification that have a specialty area of knowledge, skills, and abilities. IT Analyst is a series that uses that pretty extensively. So for example, in 2012, when there were layoffs, there were issues that GIS analysts were bumping programmers and that kind of thing. They went so far as to establish and define the subclassifications within the collective bargaining agreement. So within each of these classifications, there's five subclassifications within the collective bargaining agreement. So there's application development systems analysts, which are programmers, GIS analysts, application or database analyst. You know the others?
Computer
support. Computer support. There's five classifications. So when you picture how the civil service rules for hiring fit in, we would not establish a list for information technology analyst. For that classification, you'd probably have at a minimum five lists, because you would have the GIS and the programmer ADSA list as subclassifications. But then within those subclassifications, there's like sub-classifications. So just like IT analysts aren't interchangeable, programmers are not interchangeable because the city has a variety of systems. They code in different languages. You can't move into a job if you don't know that language, especially at a higher level within the series where, if you're coming in as a principal technical, you're expected to be a really high-performing contributor in that system. Very specialized. So what we've ended up with is sort of these sub-classification, sort of nightmare complex recruiting that has led to a lot of confusion by staff and departments and applicants. And other things that are affected by lists, like how a person expresses interest in a transfer, because we might have all these lists and sublists, and then if someone's interested in transferring and they fill out a transfer request form, figuring out which list they go onto, and then if a new list is established that's similar, how to make sure they're getting considered for that. That actually resulted in a grievance with Local 120 last year, which is sort of how we've already been very frustrated as HR and departments about how we make our hiring process work efficiently and effectively for these classifications in particular. And then that grievance was like, we need to come up with something. So we've had a lot of conversations with our business partners, with Local 120, and we've developed a process that's in the spirit of open competitive examinations that lets us do this in a way that's a little more simple and transparent and easy for us to administer, faster to get people on board, more clear for employees about how they compete and how they don't miss an opportunity. So that's why we're coming forward with this request. Lynn has some examples of some recent recruitments and the challenges we're facing. We went and checked. Last year, we recruited for these classifications 17 times. So, you know, we're in the neighborhood of 20 per year, depending on attrition and vacancies, at which, you know, level we'd be recruiting and which sub or sub-sub classification.
So Rodney spoke a little bit about the sub-sub classification. I want to give you an example of what that might look like. So in the Business Analyst 3 classification, we recently were looking for someone who had plant maintenance work. Plant maintenance specifically to SAP, which is the platform that they use, right, to use to count materials and to assess materials in our agency. That is a very specialized field, and to the point where we actually went out, I think, 4 times last year for the exact same classification and could not find people in that very specific subclass to meet the qualifications that are outlined in the job announcement, which is a bachelor's degree and, I believe, 5 years of experience. They've since updated the class specs to make it a little bit more reasonable in terms of equivalent language. So now it's like you could have equivalency language in our job announcement. So if someone had 9 years, that would be equivalent to a bachelor's degree in 5 years, something to that effect, and still was not able to fill that classification. We ended up hiring a firm that specializes in finding people in that subclass, and was still not able to find people to fit for that position. So we actually just went out again. It's called SAP Enterprise Asset Management. We thought maybe a title change would attract the people that we were looking for. We actually got a total of 9 applicants. 4 did not meet minimum qualifications. 3 failed the testing process. That left 2 to be on the eligible list. And they're racing to get one of those candidates because she has offers from 3 other agencies. So what we're really talking about in this process is not eliminating civil service, but really finding a way to work with civil service to make us more nimble in a very, very competitive market. Because what we are talking about is trying to get the best of the best. And in order to do that, we kind of have to move fast. Unfortunately, the testing process requires us to collect a pool of candidates, wait till that entire pool gets through the testing process, and then contact them. But what we're asking for is the ability, as we see people who are eligible on this list, to, instead of testing them, send our subject matter experts to make contact with them so that we can start them through a process to let them know that the city of Tacoma is an interesting and nimble place to work, because we're dealing with this IT crowd who they move around. They're not afraid to leave jobs and do new things, and we're trying to find ways to get them interested in the city of Tacoma.
We're happy to answer any questions you have.
I have a
Okay, well, let's start with you.
Okay.
Board Member Hansen.
What does the position, what do the business analyst positions do? So you're kind of looking like that's a fairly involved question.
Did you receive the class specs? I think you have in your packet the class specs for all of the, for each of these classifications.
Right.
I just pulled one out of the ones that we sent, so I don't know for sure
I don't have that in my packet.
Yeah, I don't.
I believe it was in last month's packets, and so, yeah, you're right. You don't have them in front of you now, so that's a great question.
I'm not asking for a detailed answer, just kind of a broad summary of their job duties.
They're so specialized that it, I mean, on a very broad sense, it talks about they are conductors of workflow. They interface on different analysis and develop and implement different technologies and different platforms with the city. So in the ones that I've done recently, like the business analysts, we've got SAP, the system of SAP has multiple layers of platforms, right? And a business analyst might work on one platform but has never touched like a configuration platform, but they would work on a human resources asset platform where they're putting in billing codes and managing that configuration. So it kind of depends on the level, and it depends on what platform they specifically work on. The most recent ones that we've done recruitments for have been human capital, the human resources, benefits administration, plant maintenance, database administrator. So it is really a specialized based off of the platform. And kind of to add to that, SAP itself, which is the system that our city runs on, is also kind of specialized. Not a lot of agencies use this system. And we're on top of that moving to something called the HANA system, which every SAP user will eventually need to move to, but we're one of the first, which means that finding people who have worked on the HANA system is also a little bit more complicated. We're finding difficulties in finding people who do not require additional sponsorship to work for the city, which is something we've tried to kind of steer away from because it costs the city more money, of course, to have to sponsor. A lot of the HANA programming and business analysts come from Canada and India. Currently.
Okay, so the business analyst is actually a form of an IT position? Okay, that's all I was really interested in. It's your position that given the competitiveness for hiring people into these positions, that you don't really have time to go through the testing process, and during the course of that process, the candidates will very likely get other positions elsewhere because they don't really want to wait several months before they hear from the city. Is that kind of the situation that you're in right now?
I think that's fair to say. I'd also think it's fair to say that this is kind of something we just want to try. When we have to, we're being asked to be innovative and find ways to get people who are in this very competitive field. And so I guess I would say that I'm not 100% sure this is going to work, but I have to, for my customer, try to find a way that we can address the issue of people going elsewhere. We, of course, you know, in our job announcement, we talk about the excellent benefits that the city has, the amazing retirement, the beautiful city that we live and serve, and those are great. But if we can't get to someone before they are offered another job, it doesn't matter. So that's kind of... that's sort of the proposal here. I guess I think it's fair for me to say that I'm not 100% sure it's going to work, which is kind of why we're asking for this one-year trial to see if this is a way that we could address this issue.
And how long does the whole, the usual, the process that you've been using involving testing and everything else, how long does that process take from the time you screen the applications and have the individuals take tests and then interview those individuals and then actually hire people? And I know you don't know, you don't have a definitive answer, but kind of a ballpark estimate.
It takes about 6 weeks. And I think we can, so Lynn talked a little bit to some of our challenges with the civil service. You have to administer the test to all the candidates, create the list before you can contact anyone. So when you're talking about, if you start advertising, and you're making first contact with those people, not once the list is established, 6 weeks later. Whereas if we got a very well-qualified applicant, we could call them that same day. When they've applied, they're interested. We have a hard time enough getting people to apply. People don't think of the city of Tacoma or Tacoma Public Utilities as a tech company. We're not a tech company. It's hard to brand ourselves and compete with other organizations that that are tech companies and that have cultures that support, you know, that have robust internships and pipelines. We don't have those to leverage. So we really have to hustle when we get well-qualified candidates to sell them on us. We're not in a position to be picky about people. We need to convince them that this is a great place to work and get them on board before they start getting other offers.
And so this would be for a limited amount of time and applied to this limited category of employee?
Correct.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
I'm trying to frame the question. I'm trying to see the picture. So what we have on the next page is the proposed process. And these are the steps that you want to include in that process. And I see a few that involve committees and screening for individuals. And just that whole screening, just the screening process, and somewhat related to the previous question, is how much time do you think that screening and impaneling a group and getting that together, how much time does that take? And then is there any consideration of just shortening some of those things relative to even making the current process work more smoothly?
Okay. We have two recruiters, and we both probably do it a little differently, but I'll go first. So So right now, under our current civil service process, we gather all, so we open for a period of time. And on that closing date, we get this committee and we get them access to all the applications. They score them. So that takes weeks. And when they're getting them all at once, you know, then that takes hours. And then they have to agree and have discussion. So what we would do under this process is use our applicant tracking system. We'll receive the applications, screen them, and then refer the qualified candidates. Everyone on the selection committee, I don't know if you ever have individual managers that are making hiring decisions. It's usually a group of subject matter experts. It includes a manager, probably another person from that department, sometimes, you know, somebody that they provide services to. We try and get a diverse group of people to have input. But they can all be recipients of the application so that electronically, so that when we receive applications in HR, we screen them, we refer them. All of the people on the selection committee receive them, an email that they have applications to review. They can go in real time and look at them. And then when we have well-qualified people, we can start conducting phone interviews or bringing them in for in-person interviews.
So are the qualifications standardized? Because that's something else I see in here. So do all of the committees for each of the levels, are they screening for the same minimum qualifications?
So no, but they're screening for qualifications that are consistent with the class spec. So if the class spec says a bachelor's degree and 2 years of experience, they're looking for a bachelor's degree and 2 years of experience. But what that 2 years of experience is very specific to the role we're filling. So if Lynn's filling the position on that platform and it requires 2 years of experience in that platform, then that's what we're looking for, or something that would, you know, be similar enough that they could do that work, which is what the community is assessing. So consistent with the class spec, but not identical to. The class specs are generic and the positions are very specific.
So there's at least 5 or 6 levels of review, screening, and then referral. It looks like another screening. Then HR gets involved and refers. And looks like more people are looking at the qualifications and a selection committee than an appointing authority, than a background check. So there,
it's still very robust. This is about as narrow as we could get it. And also, this is a result of some back and forth with Local 120 on what was agreeable to them and their members and us as HR and then the hiring managers.
So the categories are the ones that are on the previous page, those, the technical specialists and the senior and the business analyst 1 through 3, but then there are subs under that. So approximately, what are we talking, 40, 50 potential classes and subclasses, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40.
So a minimum of 23, and then that's assuming there were no 23 subclasses, and then subclasses are a little bit more difficult to quantify because the city is, you know, in and out of new software systems. So I'm not even sure we have a place where that's all captured, other than when we recruit, we keep that historical job announcement data.
So are there any IT classes that are not included, or?
Yes.
So there are, so it's just these.
These are the most complex, hard to fill. There's many IT classifications that don't have the same recruitment challenges. There are some IT classifications where, you know, if it requires a two-year degree or in some cases just a four-year degree but not a specialty experience, we can source those locally through traditional methods and the testing process works. These are the especially difficult to fill competitive positions.
Testing represents a paper pencil test.
We rarely test for that, okay. For IT in particular. We have some online tests, and a common form for this is asking candidates to describe their experience in essay form and then having a panel of people read those responses and score them.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair. Rodney. Your answers there to Board Member Andrews were, I thought, were much better than your earlier previous answers. I was bothered by the comments about when you talk to someone on the phone and you want to hire them, you know, at that time, the same time, same day, I don't think that's how the system should work, and this all bothers me. You know, every time that I've seen a waiver for a year, a waiver for an extended period of time, we don't get it back. It stays with the city, and the city, you know, just keeps, you know, eroding away, you know, I am very concerned about this. Now, the regular process besides the regular testing would be to come to the Civil Service Board on an individual basis and ask for a waiver on the individual. How would that be a hardship?
Well, if we're talking about time.
Well, we're talking about the standard procedure. The way the procedure is right now.
So the current recruitment process wouldn't require us to come to Civil Service Board for a waiver on a person, because we would establish a list, they'd be certified and hired off of that list.
Pardon me.
I think I'm missing it.
If you wanted to bypass that, if you wanted to bypass the standard operating procedure and say, well, we just found this person and we want to hire him right now, we want to waive the competitive examination, I was talking about that standard procedure. You'd come to us and you'd ask us on an individual basis. You'd say, you know, here's the case for this person. What, you know, we do that, pretty much monthly around here.
Yeah, I've got a few concerns about that method. One is if we're recruiting without establishing a list, we're taking a pretty big gamble and investment of resources that we're going to be able to hire that person. So, you know, at the point we're making an offer, we're at the end of a long road, and then to seek approval and risk it being denied might be as risky as opposed to the delay in establishing a list. And also, the board only meets monthly and doesn't always have a quorum, and we have to get the notices in a week prior. So it would be pretty challenging to bring each hire. I remember the old days when we did that for residency waivers, and I think the board at that time was meeting like weekly or every other week, and it was still a challenge. to get in here before people were on board. I want to clarify another thing. We're not waiving civil service, so they'll still be permanent classified employees with all the other rights of civil service. And I think the term waiver of competitive exam is misleading, too. It's called that because that's the chapter. That's what the chapter calls it. But what we're really doing is proposing a different form of competitive exam. We still, one of the things that we clarified with 120 is that, you know, we're not going to fill any of these through any other means. We're going to advertise every job for a minimum of 5 days, which is going to get job interest card notification out to all of the 120. That's a function on our website where when we recruit all year round, and we do lots of IT job fairs and things in the community and at the local schools that have those programs, and we have people fill out these job interest cards to get email blasts when we open jobs. So that's still a tool we're going to leverage, and this will make sure that we get those out for in all those cases, and that people will have an opportunity to get their application in and be considered. It just will happen a lot faster. It's actually a lot easier for them, because if they have an application in NeoGov, they can reapply. They know what they've applied for. They're not confused when another job opens up. They know that's a different opportunity, and they know how to compete for it, and they know where to go and find it when it's open.
May I? I think the main point of this, and what we had serious conversations with Local 120 about, was really making sure that we're conducting a fair, robust process so that we get a diverse pool of candidates, and we're considering them rather than waiving the process for an individual candidate. Because they're so rare and they're difficult to find, we don't have that option of already having a candidate identified that we can request an exam for. We still want a really fair process. And it's not that different than the process that we use for our appointive positions. The difference is eliminating that step of the testing and the list will just allow us to move much more quickly. The other thing that's challenging is when you establish a list, you've got that list for a long period of time. So keeping the list current and the candidates current and interested on that list is a real challenge as well.
Board Member Sexton?
Shelby, do we have any communication from 120?
We do. We've actually put together a letter of agreement with them on how the process would work should it be approved. And we can get you that if you'd like it.
So they're supportive?
Yeah, they're 100% supportive.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair.
Member Hansen.
So the letter of agreement reflects the process that you've delineated here in this for us. Also, I had a question on, maybe you discussed this in your previously and I just missed it, but you state in the fourth bullet, the city will not consider transfer requests on the provisions of Tacoma Municipal Code 124760. So what does that refer to?
Do you want it? Not me? Okay. So the municipal code allows for current employees in a classification to transfer, right? But it's specific to a classification, and it doesn't take into account the subclass or the sub-subclass. So what we were having is employees who were like IT analysts in like a computer programming, but not IT analysts in like database administration. But the code allowed for them to transfer, even though maybe they weren't actually would not have met the MNQALs because they didn't like have the specific platform or type of subclass. And it was causing confusion to the 120 members who were not understanding why they were not getting onto these transfer lists, because the code says per classification, even though the recruitment was for subclassed, right? So what we said in the proposal is we will post these jobs for 5 days, which will generate a job interest card to any person who has signed up, 120 members specifically, that would then outline the very detailed minimum qualifications of that specific job so that they could then decide for themselves if that was a job that they thought that they could meet MNQALs for and not just end up on a random transfer list because it was such a high-level language that didn't address the subclass.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. Thank you.
Are there other questions from board members?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton?
Well, my position on this has been evolving. Talk to me about the time period. You want this for a year. So what happens, you know, during the year, and what happens after the year?
So if trends continue, we'll have about 20 recruitments in the next year under this waiver. The code only allows a waiver up to 1 year and then says you can extend it. So we'll have to analyze how it goes for that year. 120, then I think we'll have an option under the LOU to, you know, provide feedback about whether or not they want to continue the LOU. We can measure whether or not it's been effective, and if a decision is made to request an extension, we'd come back to the Civil Service Board, tell you what happened in that year. We could certainly by then have a lot of analytics about how many recruitments we did, how many candidates we got. I think probably most importantly for us is whether it made an impact on our ability to land top talent for these hard-to-fill jobs. And then, so, I mean, best-case scenario, this is a positive change, and yeah, we'll be back here to report on it, and thank you, and request an extension. If it doesn't work, then, you know, back to the drawing board. This does clear up some really significant issues with the transfer list, some issues raised by 120. It's not in any way doing away with the ability for people to transfer. It's just providing a different mechanism that is, I think, hopefully at least easier to administer for us and easier for everyone to understand.
Okay. One of the questions I asked before the meeting was how many people are actually impacted by this? How many actual positions? You talked about 20 recruitments. What exactly does that mean?
So we ran upstairs to pull as much data as we could in 10 minutes. So we found that within these classifications, we recruited last year 17 times. I think we can expect something similar in 18, so probably a little bit more, so that's why I said 20. So I would expect 20 individual recruitments that we would do if we had this waiver that would be advertised specific to that vacancy for a minimum of 5 days on our website, which would send out the job interest card blast. And then we would follow the procedure outlined here of an HR screen for qualifications and then referring to the selection committee for interview consideration. From there, it really follows our normal hiring process of, you know, interviews, offers, background checks.
How many bodies would that be?
The one thing Lynn brought up, those were 17 recruitments, but she had some that were repeated. So because we couldn't find someone successfully and had to repost. So that's another thing about this testing. You can't open it till filled because you have to close it so you can test everybody. So then if you don't find anybody at the end, you have to start all over. So it's probably not a full 17 people. Then I guess maybe 15 people that we would hire in the year.
And are there other questions from the board members? There has been good information provided at this meeting. There have been a couple of questions. One is, can we cap it at say 20? Let's try this for 20 individuals. Could we not keep it for a year, or have you come back quarterly and report to us how this is going and if it's going as you hoped it would? And I understand it's a hope, and I really thank you for all the fine work you've done with this, but I'm not ready to vote yes on this without having a little more hands on.
We are really excited to give it a try and gather some data. You know, I don't think it'll take us 20 to have some data about how it's going. If we would be happy to report back at like 10.
So do you have any recruitments in this group currently open?
I I have a business analyst 2 currently open, and I just closed the business analyst 3, the enterprise asset management, which is the plant maintenance one that we recruited for several times last year.
So if this were approved tonight, would you close then the ones that are open and is the testing process in any way included on any of the recruitment announcements?
The ones that are currently open, we would, I think, maintain, because we open them without this waiver being in place, we would maintain the testing process for those. It would just be anything going from, if this were approved tonight, from this day forward. I don't think the intention is to change anything that was posted prior to your guys' approval.
So potentially, since there's a different timeline associated with the regular process as opposed to what you hope might occur with this process, you could have some variation there as far as the opportunity for people to be hired and under the 2 mechanisms.
Potentially, yeah.
Board Member Sexton?
Madam Chair, What about a 6-month waiver? Could you work with that?
I mean, that's certainly better than nothing. I think in 6 months, that's why I said the number 10. If we do 20 in a year, I think 10 would be about 6 months. And it's hard to forecast. I don't know exactly how many we're going to have in the next 6 months. I'd prefer a number so that we could make sure that in that amount of time we have some data to bring back. I think 10 would be about 6 months, and 10 would be a nice sample size to demonstrate whether or not it's effective. But 6 months, I mean, we should have about 10 in 6 months.
Board Member Hansen, is there any additional questions?
No, I have.
Okay. So we are at the request for a waiver of competitive examination information technology analyst and business analyst classification series. Is the board prepared to take any action this evening?
Madam Chair, I've got a question. I'm sorry. I've got a question first. I'm just about ready, but thinking about the time period, and then thinking about capping it, if it was 6 months, then you wouldn't need 20?
You asked for a number.
Yeah, we don't know exactly, Dan, because it sort of depends on attrition. So, and it's we can forecast, 20 for the year. That doesn't mean they're going to happen slowly and steadily.
So here's my question. If we were to cap this at 20 and for a period of 6 months, that would give you more than enough.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I wasn't talking on the motion there. I'm talking on it now. I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of competitive examination, information technology analyst and business analyst classification series as listed on the page for a period of 6 months capped at 20 of them, something like that.
So the motion that is before us is that we request the waiver for competitive examination information technology analyst and business analyst classification series for a time of 6 months or 20 positions, whichever comes first. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
we do understand that the motion was for the list that Rodney provided for us here. Should I have named all of these, or?
I do not believe that's necessary.
All right.
Are there any other questions from the board members? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Any abstentions? The motion passes. Next item. Thank you. Thank you for all of the work.
Thank you.
All right, Chair Summers. our next waiver.
Do you get to go home tonight?
I hope so.
Thank you.
Our next waiver, and James Kaufman is joining me from Tacoma Public Utilities. Our next waiver is another waiver of competitive exam. This is a different kind, and I've not been to the board with this nature of competitive exam before. We're frequently here for people who have extraordinary qualifications or have graduated from an apprenticeship. Tonight we're here for some employees who have been reclassified as part of a classification study. I don't want to steal James's thunder too much, but do you want to talk a little bit about the changes in
what we're doing is basically they're going from.
Who are you again?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
My name is James Kaufman. I'm the public records officer at TPU.
Thank you.
And thanks. What Rodney's talking about is basically they've gone from being a office administrative person and administrative aide, and we reclassed them to public records analysts and public records specialists positions to help us carry out the job of doing public disclosure requests.
We've had staff that perform this function in a somewhat decentralized way, and they were members of other classifications. So there has been a need because of the complexity in public disclosure requests and the regulations to consolidate those people. We've really looked at what they do. And right now we have administrative professionals and a small group of them, these two in particular, that are performing a large amount of their job in this area. And so we've found the need to create classifications for people who solely do this, who can be experts in this. So we've created two new classified classifications. And we have these people who are already doing this work, whose positions have been reallocated to these classifications. So really we're here to request waivers to prevent them from having to compete for the jobs they already have and that they already do. They're already having the stress of being reorganized, rehoused under one manager who's going to oversee the whole program. And we just didn't think it was fair to then make them compete to keep their job. So we're requesting waiver of competitive exam for Lisa Anderson to be a public disclosure analyst and Jin Yi to be a public disclosure analyst. We also had a request for Lauren Riker. Not unfortunately, fortunately, she has accepted a different promotion. So we're withdrawing the request on her behalf.
Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair, I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of competitive examination for Lisa Anderson and Jin Yi, public disclosure analysts.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, any discussion? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. And are there any few further comments from the Human Resource Director?
No further comments. Thank you.
Comments by the public? Comments by board members?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Hansen.
Yes, we had talked about a study session for the issue that Alice Phillips brought up concerning the explaining about how a lot of the positions that they thought should be classified were put in an exempt status. And I believe Amy Heller, it has stated in the minutes that maybe the first step would be to schedule a study session where we could have, and I'm just reading from the minutes, where we can have HR come give us more information about how they determine if these positions are classified or non-classified and what they're basing their decision on. And I don't know if you've had an opportunity to review the materials that Alice Phillips had in her notebook.
Yes, they gave me a copy of the same binder that they gave you. I'm reviewing the materials and meeting with folks here in our Human Resources Department to try to kind of understand the whole picture. So we'll be working on that information and have it prepared.
Oh, okay. And so I guess at that point, then, could you let us know when you're ready? And then maybe perhaps, Madam Chair, we could schedule a study session so we could start looking at this issue?
I was prepared to do that for June.
Oh, I thought you said we were not going to have it in June.
No, I asked that the hearing not be in June.
Oh, so that we have the study session in
June.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am confused here.
No, it's quite all right. Just step on me all you want. Yeah.
No, I just misunderstood.
And June
you.
Would be an appropriate time for you as well?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that. It's a significant amount of information and data, so it's taking some time to complete. So I'll get back to you on, we'll check in on the date, if that works for you.
Okay, we would like to schedule it for our June study session, which is why we asked that the hearing not be on at our June meeting. So if you could get back to Wendy as soon as possible so that she can let us know.
You bet.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
No, I don't think Board Member Hansen's done because his mic's still on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm done, Madam Chair.
Okay. Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair, just to follow up on Board Member Hansen's query, I went by the front desk out here around, I think, 4 o'clock to run up to the city manager's office to follow up on the information that we got from IBEW Local 483, and I wasn't allowed to go up there, you know, after the senior security person came down and they all talked about it. They decided that that the thing to do was to have someone from the city manager's office came down, and that was we got to meet Cecilia Holderman from the city manager's office just prior to our meeting, and she shared with me an org chart. Very nice, very, very helpful. I wanted to thank her for that and try to, follow up. We get copies of this so we can try to figure out what it means. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Hansen.
Perhaps Wendy could email copies of those to
us.
If
she needs to know what it is. So that she can get it for us. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, please email it to all the board members. Are there other comments by board members? I was under the misassumption that we were going to have a study session tonight with the technical people about how to get our message out. Do we not have that scheduled for any time?
I spoke with Maria Lee, and she will be the one presenting on that topic, and she is not available until August. So I've scheduled that for August.
I'm just trying to show I don't always have senior moments, so thank you so much for that.
And she asked a question about July, and so that, are we going to have the studies or the meeting in July, the day after the holiday, or are you going to cancel that meeting?
Those seem to never happen.
We have a discussion. I mean, for the next football
I would like to request that we do that. Whenever we can get the room open, we don't seem to have problems on Thursdays, and to reschedule it sometime after the 5th of July.
In the month of
July. In the month of July.
Okay.
And if any of you aren't here and I don't have a quorum, I'll find you, okay? Just so y'all know. are there any other comments by the board members? Hearing none. We are out of here. Thank you.
So now I give these.